So, all right, well, we are in this series called Relationship from Death to Life. Today's focus is on obey. You know, when I first started reading my Bible in 2004, that's really when I got saved. I started digging into His Word, trying to become more like Christ. I don't know why, but I was just very drawn to the book of James. It's my favorite book of the Bible. So much that actually when our youngest son was born early 2005, his middle name is James. James is said to be the Proverbs of the New Testament, and when you read Proverbs and you read James, you can't just blow through it. It's almost like you got to read one verse and just really think about that verse and chew on that verse and see all that is detailed in that. And honestly, if you were to read James and listen to a lot of things I say, I quote James probably more than any of the books of the Bible. And so since today our topic is on obedience, I'm going to use James chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We hear this message, we're reading the word, we got to do what it says. And so when I first started reading out of James and I read that verse and then I started reading it again, I started asking myself this question is, do I take Jesus at his word? Which means, do I believe that this is the word of God? Do I believe that it's true? Do I trust what it says? And if I do, am I going to obey it? And I think that's the one way of how we have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is to be disciplined in a way that we read His Word every single day. A lot of times when you hear someone say that, you automatically come up with all these excuses about being so busy, but can we read His Word every single day and then do what it says? I think when we read His Word and we allow and we start trying to follow what it's doing, what we recognize is that His Word starts discipling us to become more and more like Christ. Well, today's focus is going to be, what word are you believing for? And what word is God speaking? And the ultimate question is the word that you're believing for and is the word that God is speaking, are they the same thing? Hopefully that answer is yes. So I've heard it spoken, I've preached it before, but this is this saying is a really good one, and it's talking about prayer. And it says, when we pray and the request is not right, God says no. Sometimes as parents, our kids are going to come to us and have a request that's not right. We as a parent need to say no. It's not about us being their friend. It's about us using the authority God has given us as the parent and say no. When we pray and we are not right, God says grow. When we pray and the timing is not right, God says slow. Now, I think a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm not going to pray for patience. And that's, you know, they don't like the word wait. They don't like the word still. But I got to tell you, actually, even my dad, and I can say this without his permission, but my dad would say that that wait is the worst four-letter cuss word that there is. People don't like the patience. They don't like the wait. They don't like the stillness. But can we find out that in the wait, that we find out in the still, that God is in control. And Him being in control, He shows Himself to be faithful. The last one is, when we pray and everything is right, God says go. And I think if we are honest, every time we pray, we're expecting a go from God. Sometimes we think it goes in order, that it goes from no to grow, grow to slow, and slow to go. Other times, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we get upset when God tells us to grow up, to slow down. And I think we can get really mad when He tells us no. You ever been upset before when God told you no? I have. But shouldn't we be celebrating the mere fact, if you got a clear word from God, either through his impressions or from his confirmations, or if you got a word from God that that answer was grow, slow, or no, shouldn't we be celebrating the fact, like, we got a word from God today? We can see the pattern from the biblical heroes, how there are different seasons of no, grow, slow, and go, and how that works. Abraham is a good example. He showed his righteousness as he had seasons of where God told him, no, grow, slow, and go. In fact, the first thing that God says to Abram at that time, he wasn't Abraham, he was Abram. God says, go into an unknown land where I'll make you a father of nations. So Abram went. But then what did he say at one time? He said, no, Ishmael is not going to be the promised son. I'm going to be using Isaac. You tried making my promise come through Ishmael, but no, he's not going to be the promised one. The promise is going to be fulfilled in my way, but you need to slow. Be still and still your fears and your doubts about your age and about Sarah's age. And you got to trust in my timing, because my timing is always on time. You need to grow, Abraham. Learn that I'm a gracious God as you intercede for Lot. And I love that part of intercession in Genesis where we see Abraham interceding for Lot. And God comes to Abraham and says, look, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're not living godly lives. I'm going to wipe out that town. And Abraham comes to him and says, well, okay, hold up. What happens if you find 50 righteous people? Okay, 50 righteous people. Did God know that he wasn't even going to find 5? Oh, yeah, he knew it. But he allowed Abraham to go from 50. Oh, about 40? What about 30? What about 20? If you find 10 righteous people, I just love that story, because God is just so patient with us as he shows himself faithful and watches our faith grow. How about King David? We're reading the SOAP Bible study, and we're learning about King David. We're seeing how he has a heart after God's own heart. But even David had different seasons of where God told him, no, grow, slow, and go. We start off with David, God telling David, you need to grow into a mighty warrior and king as you continue to faithfully shepherd the flock, protecting them from the lions and the bears, as you faithfully protect those soldiers who are following you, going from cave to cave. But while you're doing that, you need to slow down. Be still. Know that I am God and that I am in control. Do not allow Saul's continual attack to cause you to sin as you're going and running from cave to cave and playing the worst hide-and-seek game ever. It seems like everyone knew where David was besides Saul. And God said, trust in my timing, David. No, David, no, you should not go and attack Saul and defend yourself. He is my anointed. No, David, you should not look upon another man's wife and take her as your own wife. No, David, you should not use deception and lies and murder to cover your own sin. But what I want of you, David, is I want you to go and be the king of Israel. Be a man after my own heart. So when we read the Bible and we try to find this one word, We can see these different seasons in each of the biblical heroes. We started off this series with this painting and seeing Jesus showing himself faithful through all of the storm that Peter was going through. And I gave a little bit of a preview of that story. Today we're going to dig in and just really dive into that story. It's out of Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 36. I'm going to read all of that scripture, and then we're going to go back piece by piece. So if you just want to open your Bibles up to Matthew 14, 22 through 36, that's where we're going to be. I believe this entire encounter shows there are different seasons, even in this one scene, in these few verses, there is different seasons that they went through of no, grow, slow, and go. But also it will show that though there are different seasons, that in just 1 second, God can answer all 4 at one time. So we're in Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33. I'd actually, if you would please stand with me as we read this. I'm encouraged to bring your Bible. You can, there's ink pens in front of your pew, but just underline and highlight things as God speaks to you. I specifically like the word immediately. I'm seeing that word a lot. Even today's SOAP Bible study, we saw immediately Jesus heals. So this is Matthew 14, 22 through 33, and it starts off, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and he cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began sinking, cried out, "Lord, save me." I hear this two different times. You have these faithful followers of Jesus. They get terrified, they get afraid, and they cry out, "Jesus, save me." And it says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Immediately, Jesus saves us. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they, I'd underline that, so I'm going to come back to that one later. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father God, I pray that you open our eyes, open our ears, our mind, our heart. Help us, Lord, to be able to receive the word that you have prepared for us today. And help us, God, to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So when we the first point is, when we pray and we are not right, God says grow. When we pray and we are not right, God says grow. Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 24, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus, the Son of God, knows all things. And so he knows that a storm is going to come. The disciples, they get in the boat and the water is calm. And they go and there's no storm there at this point. They get in the boat and they start heading across the sea. So Jesus knows that the storm is going to come. And he sends his trusted disciples into that storm. You have to ask the question, just think about, like, why would Jesus do that? Why would he purposely send them out into a storm, knowing the fear, knowing the worry, knowing the doubt that it was going to cause? Actually, if you read Mark's perspective of this encounter, what happens is the same thing. Jesus sends them out. He goes up on top of the mountain, and it says, and I love it. He says he watched them as they struggled, and they struggled with the storm. He watched them in that struggle. And then later on, not like, hey, you know what, immediately? We all want that immediate. No, he waited. Yep, it looked like they're struggling. And then he walks, and in Mark's account, he walks by them until they call him and say, "Jesus," and they called God, and they called him to him. Why would he do that? I believe it's because he wanted to grow their faith. We have to be really careful how we evangelize and saying, hey, I see all these struggles that you have. Start believing in Jesus and everything's going to be fine. There's a hint of truth to that, because yes, immediately Jesus can heal and everything will be fine, but it takes a process of that healing. There's a growing part of that. And just because we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean no struggles are going to come. Following Jesus means that he's going to help us through those struggles, because he wants to grow our faith. And I prepared this message, and sometimes you got to move things around. And I had Romans after the second point. I decided to just the Holy Spirit was moving and talking, and I just decided that we're going to go with Romans right now. So we're going to move it up into the first point. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces, suffering grows our perseverance. And our perseverance, it produces, or our perseverance, it grows our character. Our character, it grows our hope. Our suffering grows our faith to have a hope in God. So we got to stop asking God to remove the suffering, but to help us through that suffering. The second point is, when we pray and the timing is not right, God says slow. Matthew chapter 14, 25 through 27, it says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and he cried out to them. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I.' That 'it is I' is the same thing as saying, 'I am who I am,' that same authority. Don't be afraid." You see, Jesus was slow to go out to them because I believe he was allowing for their need for Jesus to grow. They were using their knowledge, they were using their strength, everything they knew what to do, how to get through it, and Jesus was like, "Cool, I'm going to wait to see until they recognize it's not in their strength, it's not in their knowledge. They have to grow to really understand their need for Jesus." We want the answer now. But Jesus wants us to grow our faith. The patience, the stillness, the wait, it's growing our faith. James chapter 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." You kind of wonder, Is Paul mocking us? Is James mocking us? Paul says, in your struggle, think it like it's glory. And James says, hey, when you're in these trials of many kinds, think of a pure joy. How many of you are suffering right now? And you're like, "Well, thank you, Jesus, for one more thing to worry about and to fear and to..." Because you know, we have joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. I want everyone to say mature and complete, not lacking anything. Our goal, we have baby dedications up here, and we tell them we're making a promise to the church, we're making a promise to God, to the children, and to all that, is that we are going to do what Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, is that we're going to train up the children in the way of the word, in the way of the Lord. That training up is for them to be transformed into God's likeness. We're not training them up into the, allowing them to conform to the patterns of this world, but we're training them up to be transformed into his likeness, so that when they are mature, it says, they will know which way to turn. I think the best way for us to move from being overwhelmed to becoming an overcomer is only going through that struggle with Jesus Christ. And I'll say it again, in the stillness, in the wait, God shows himself to be faithful. The third point, when we pray and everything is right, God says go. You get really excited about those go times, right? Matthew chapter 14, 28 through 29. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Notice it didn't say in the boat. "On the water, come." And Jesus replied, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I want you to get this picture in your head. Even this picture doesn't really show. It's not calm water. It's not still water. I used to think, picturing Jesus walking on water, everything's just like this, that clear glass, beautiful water. There was a raging storm that was rocking the boats back and forth. There was a raging storm that caused these professional fishermen to fear their life. And Peter is seeing all that and saying, hey, I'm going to come to you. If you call me and tell me to go to you, and I believe what Jesus was telling Peter, and it tells us when he tells us to go, to believe that the impossible can be made possible only with God. Our spouse can have a change of heart. Our kids can come to know who Jesus Christ is as their personal Savior. The healing can happen. The financial struggle can change if we trust in Jesus. The very storm that was causing these professional fishermen to struggle, Jesus just called Peter to step out into it. We keep asking Jesus to take away the storm, to take away the mountain, but that's not his goal. He wants us to overcome them, because we become so much stronger after those things. The fourth point. When we pray and the request is not right, God says no. I'm going to say it again for us parents. If our kids are asking for things and their request is not right, we have to be bold for their sake and say no. They are not our friends. Stop trying to parent for them to be your friend. You are to be their parent, and you're supposed to be their protector, and sometimes that protection is a no. And that's the same thing what God is doing. He has to sometimes tell us no, because we're not in his will. I've prayed really good prayers before that were really, really, I thought, very biblical, and they just got a no. I wasn't in his will. I prayed hard for us to stay in China, and God told us no, because he had something greater. Matthew chapter 14, 30 through 31. But when he saw the wind, Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, I just love it when we call out to God, save me, and immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Jesus tells Peter, no, don't focus on the struggle. Don't take your eyes off of me, Peter. And these two verses, they're just but a second. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and immediately sinks. There's just nothing underneath his feet. He's just gone. And what I like about this, and we could see in this picture, we see the hope in it, but the terror that happened before this hope that we see of Jesus standing on that water, that just in a short period of time, in just this 1 second, Peter experiences no, slow, grow, go, all at one time. Jesus reaches to him and gets his attention, and he's saying, look, right now, Peter, I know you're being overwhelmed with fear. I know you're being overwhelmed with doubt. I know you're being overwhelmed with all the things that are happening right now, but I need you to focus on me. He grabs a hold of his attention. He says, no, you're not going to die. I'm not done with you. My will overrides what this water was trying to tell you what's going to happen right now. You're not going to die. I need you to grow your faith and trust in me, and that you can overcome this struggle. You can overcome this fear. You can overcome the depression. You can overcome this hardship. You can overcome this anxiety, but you just got to slow down and be still and know that I am the one in control. And I show myself faithful in the still. Now grab a hold of my hand and let's go. I want you to stand up with me, walk with me as we overcome this mighty struggle. All four of those things were spoken in this one picture right here. So the takeaway And for those of you who are getting baptized, already signed up, and that's your wink to you to say it's time to move and get ready to get baptized. The takeaway is Matthew chapter 14, 32 through 33. And it's an underlined word, when they. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The importance of that, it says, when they. Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat hand in hand. They together. You see, in my Bible, and I'm not being blasphemous in this at all, okay? But in my Bible, the title says, Jesus walks on water. He's the Son of God. Of course he can walk on water. I mean, like, really? Like, is that like, I'm like, yay, Jesus walked on water. But I mean, he created the water, so of course he can do all those things. And so it doesn't surprise me to see that title. But I think if the title would have said, Peter walked on water with Jesus, that gets me a little more excited. Why is that? Well, because Peter already tried it before, and he failed. So maybe you've tried Christianity before, and you failed. Maybe you took the knowledge, maybe you saw that Jesus was in front of you, and you were trying to go towards Jesus, but then all the distractions and all the busyness and all the things got you distracted and got your focus off Jesus, and you failed and you sank. But you see, this time, Peter learned his lesson, and he walked with Jesus so that when they got back to the boat, there was no worry about Peter sinking ever again. I think that there are some people here today, and they've been trying to overcome their struggles all on their own, like Peter. He learned his lesson because he sank, almost drowning. You got other people that are here today, and they've been trying to get Jesus to overcome their struggles on his own. Like all the disciples, they were on the boat hoping Jesus would do something with it. We have to stop telling God how to do his job and then stop telling him how and expecting him to do our job. It said when they walked together. Did you notice that it was when they walked together? It wasn't when Jesus pulled them up out of this water and all of a sudden the water's gone, it's all flat again. No, they had a journey. They had to walk through. The water was going. They were getting splashed. All the things that happened to Peter that made him fall were still there. The water splashing in his eyes. It's going up his nose, burning his nostrils. The waves were still there. But when he was walking with Jesus, they were able to walk on top of that storm until they got into the boat. Was there a calmness in the sea? That's so powerful to me, because what that tells me is that though the storm could be raging all on the outside, when we walk with Jesus, we can have a peace and a calmness on the inside because Jesus is with me. Maybe your marriage is going through all kinds of trouble. Maybe your job, maybe your life, whatever the situation, the doctor's report, all these fears and everything, all outside could be this raging storm. But when we know that Jesus is walking with us on the inside, there is a stillness and a calmness, because it's a recognition that God is in control. So I want to tell you today that whoever the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Free of all the worry, free of all the fear. The same storm, and yet Peter had confidence because he was walking with Jesus. If you want to leave here different than you came in, leave here walking with Jesus. That's how you leave different. Leave here walking with Jesus. If you want to leave here different today than you came in, I want you to just raise your hand. Be bold. Raise your hand. Yeah, I honestly, everyone should have their hand raised. They're going to play a song. And this song is meant to give you opportunity to search your heart. Look in your heart and to say, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Which means, have you asked Jesus to come in to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to help you to live a life you cannot live on your own? If you've never done that, it's just saying, Jesus, come in, be my Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we are saved. That's what it is. So if you want to be saved today, just Jesus, please come live in my heart. Maybe you were walking and you fail, and you got up and you stumbled, and you got up and you stumbled, and you got up and you stumbled, and you recognize that you need to walk with Jesus. And you want to make a stand today by getting baptized and saying, today is the day. I'm not turning back anymore. Today, I'm letting all my brothers and sisters hold me accountable of this decision that I am walking with Jesus. Because I want what happened with Peter is that all the other guys on that boat, they praised and worshiped Jesus. Not Peter. Jesus. So use this time. Search your heart. And today is a day. There's clothes back there. There's towels back there. Mark is going to be over here talking to you, not asking about theology, just saying, tell me about what's happening in your heart. I don't want this to be an emotional thing. I want it to be in a spiritual one. Search your heart, and if today is that day, be so bold and make the proclamation. You want accountability. Father, I just ask you just to touch my brothers and sisters' hearts today. I don't know how they came in. But we can leave when it says when they. We can leave here walking with you. So search our heart, stir within us as we get ready for baptisms.
Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. You need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the give button, or you can text the word give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.